Well, I'm joined this week on our Press Box podcast by Cardinals general manager John Mozeliak. John, I've been looking forward to this. I appreciate your time and speaking with me. And what I figured we'd do is just talk about the season and get into some of the nuts and bolts of being a GM. I mean, you're getting ready to head down to Florida pretty soon, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And a day like today, it's hard to look forward to Florida sooner than later, that's for sure.
John, you know, the baseball season itself is long, but once the season ends, most of the players and the coaches disappear. But, you know, the GMs, they're in the public eye, it seems, all season. You know, the front office, you've got winter meetings, free agent signings. But GMs are always on the go. Do you ever get a slow time in the year for you guys to take a break?
Yeah, you know, the one time a year I always try to just take a step back is usually around Christmas to New Year's. But even that, given how like the free agent market unfolded this year, it really, you know, in typical years, most players were signed by the time we got to the holidays. In this case, and as we sit here today in late January, as you can see, there's still plenty of free agents out there. So this year was unusual and really didn't get a true break from the game. And you know, I think the longer you're in it, the more you realize you're probably not going to get one in the future.
You talked about having 1 week off. Do you think the late signings of the free agents and so many of those left out there, the economy playing big into that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, before I was on this call with you, I was speaking with someone that's very well versed in the NFL, and you know, not much has been made about you know the economy and how it's affecting the NFL. And he was telling me that you know you're going to really see a different viewpoint next year, even in that business. So I don't think any of us are bulletproof in this. And I do think that as we get deeper into how the economy is affecting our businesses, you're going to see dramatic effects on how we do our day-to-day job.
We're talking with Cardinals general manager John Mozeliak. You've been very accessible to Cardinal fans. I know you do several online chats with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. How important is it for you to give fans the feeling that they can get their voice, their opinion out there?
Well, I've always thought that I should be accessible to them in different forums. Now, you know, there's a part of me that understands there's a certain level of professionalism that I have to maintain for the integrity of this job and this position. But there's also a part of me that knows that I think, you know, making people laugh and have fun and understand that even though this is a business, we still enjoy what we're doing. So I try to do that, but I also think that dealing with some of the hard questions, some of the things that may frustrate a certain group of fans, needs to be addressed as well. So I try to keep it a very wide spectrum of what I answer and how people can approach me. But, you know, I think when you start doing that, you realize that there's always going to be a group that no matter what you say, how you say it, they're not going to be pleased with you. And you know, you try not to take it personally. You try to just to be out there and allow people to take their shots when necessary. But you know, I guess the one message is you realize it's a tough business out there and it's a tough world. And no matter how nice and polite you try to be, you're not going to please everyone.
Right. You know what? I do not envy you in a lot of ways, especially this time, because the economy is bad. You know how fans are about their baseball teams, and the Cardinals probably have one of the most loyal fan bases around. So when things are going wrong in people's lives, like the economy, they turn to their baseball team. And when they don't see the team spending money or doing things the way that maybe that would be done in the past, they want a winner, and they want to see things change. And sometimes, you know, you might, with this economy, you have to take a step back and kind of take it a little bit slower. So you're in a lose-lose situation, aren't you?
Well, I'd like to think, though, that the moves we make, especially this offseason, are going to be positive impacts on this team. I would also like to think that there is a sign of optimism that, you know, the game of baseball will be played. And even though it is difficult times, people will have a place to escape to and still find some enjoyment. I think when you think about the game of baseball, there's a certain core group of people that are just so passionate about the game that a lot of their daily troubles may go away when they watch nine innings. So, you know, my hope is that the Cardinals can still provide some peace and some joy for people, given what's going on in the real world.
Do you notice fans has their patience or their understanding of how teams build, has that changed when you look at the way the way the New York Yankees spend money. Are those expectations placed on other ball clubs too, you think?
Well, I definitely think there's a small minority of people that wish we all could be the Yankees, and I say that with respect to 29 other baseball teams, but there's only one New York Yankees that have the ability to do what they do. But bear in mind, they're also going to play with a reduced payroll this year. So, you know, even they realize the landscape's changing. But with that said, I do think how baseball teams are run is evolving. And I think, you know, 5-10 years ago, making a trade for a player that had a year or 2 years left on their contract before the free agent market was a very easy deal to pull off. Today, it's where teams are asking for 0-3 players. That's meaning guys that aren't arbitration eligible and that a team would control. They seem to be what's in high demand, and that's because there's cost certainty, and there's also a known quantity for either anywhere from 0 to 6 years, which is important.
There are three main things that I would like to talk about with the upcoming season. And by the way, we're joined by Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak. And then I'll just want to pick your brain on some other stuff. Item number one, in your opinion, will Chris Carpenter be healthy enough to be in the starting rotation come opening day?
Right now, we're very optimistic that he will be. And there's no doubt he's such an important part of our club. If we feel he's not going to be able to go, though, I do think we could allocate some resources to address that. By no means am I saying we could replace Chris Carpenter. I'm just saying we could go out and find an additional arm if necessary.
You could have Carpenter, Adam Wainwright, Kyle Loesch, Joel Pinheiro, Todd Wellemeyer. I mean, that's a great starting five. That's not a shabby rotation at all. I hear people say you need to get a left-handed starter. And what I want to ask you is, you've got plenty of left-handed arms in the bullpen for those late-inning matchups. Is having a left-handed starter overrated? Because if you have five right-handed starters who can make their pitches and hit their spots, I mean, what difference does it make if they're righty or lefty?
I do think it's overstated. I really do. I do see the advantage, though, if you're managing a team, because it is nice to be able to throw a left-hander out there and at least make them shake up their lineup if necessary. But I think at the end of the day, if you're going to use one metric and you use ERA, for example, and it's say for this hypothetical, it's 2.0, you know, does it really matter if it's left or right-handed? And it's how successful you are about getting people out. So I would agree with you. That's an overstated premise.
All right, topic two. There seems to be some confusion, and maybe fans don't have all of the inside information from the end of the season to now, but the surgery on Troy Gloss's shoulder, why did the surgery come so late in the winter as opposed to having it done sooner? Maybe you can just kind of fill our fans into what happened with that situation, because that kind of snuck up on people.
Well, I think we'd all wish it could have been done sooner, but you can't perform surgery on somebody that says they're not hurt. And the big thing with Troy was he began his conditioning program in late December, started to feel it, took an MRI. The MRI revealed nothing. Still was being bothered by it. Took another MRI. That study again revealed very little. Was given an injection. At this point now, we're about the second week into January. And at that point, he was given a week to see if he'd feel better, and he didn't. So, if you're looking at hindsight, you know, perhaps it would have been if he had started his workout conditioning in October, but that's just not how it works. And so it's unfortunate, but, you know, we're still optimistic he could be ready sooner than later. But I think the most important part of all this is, you know, we do feel we have somebody that can play the position. When you look at David Freese, he's a player that we acquired at the Jim Edmonds trade last year, and he's going to get every opportunity this spring to show what he's capable of doing.
By the way, great move trading Roland for Gloss. I think people have kind of forgotten about that, but that was a great move.
Well, thank you. And obviously we saw a nice impact that Troy did for us last year, and we expect him to play this year. But again, I think the one key thing of having a minor league system is being able to have a player to step in when you need something. And I think that's the one thing we're fortunate about doing, and let's see how it works.
All right, third topic on the 09 season. I'm sure you're tired of hearing about the closer's role, the 30 blown saves, all that. Can you put fans' minds at ease and tell us what the plan is?
Well, right now, again, when you look at having a minor league system, we're very confident, and when I say we, I'm saying like our front office and really believing that Chris Perez or Jason Mott can step up and do the job. When you look at what was out there on the free agent market and how that was all developing, we tried to engage in some of that, but we did not want to get stuck in a 3 or 4 year contract on a player because we really think these guys are close. I do think giving them the experience they had last year is going to allow them to be more successful this year. And I think when you look at 2008 and you really study our blown saves, it was really before Perez and Mott ever got to the big leagues. This was something that happened in the first part of the year, and that really, I think, became a focus point. But, you know, when we studied last year in depth, we realized that when Perez and Mott were up here, our bullpen was throwing pretty well at that time. So I think that is not the breakdown of our year. It was really something that happened on the first half of the season. And I also think when you look back at Adam Wainwright, when he was a September call-up in 05, you know, he had a horrendous September. Then he comes up, makes the club in 06, and he's basically a middle reliever, picking up innings wherever he can. And then he's thrusted into the closer position in the last month of that season. And, of course, without his success, we probably don't win the World Series. But my point is, you have to give these young men opportunities to grow. And even though last year might have been a tough one for people to swallow in the ninth inning, I really believe that Mott and Perez grew a lot and matured a lot, and I think you're going to see that pay dividends this year.
That's a great point. Did you guys at any point last year think of putting Wainwright back in that closer's role?
Sure.
Yeah.
It was definitely something we thought about, but obviously, if you think about last year, and you know, I hate to always, you know, spend all our energy and time on that, but that may have been the biggest single hit we took last year was losing Adam for 3 months, because you know he was such an impact for us as a starter, and given all the things we were struggling with our rotation, and then to have him gone for basically June, July, and August, that was tough.
Yeah. Yep.
That may have had more of a negative impact than our ninth inning.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of fans realize it or even think about that.
No, but it was huge.
Yeah, yep. All right, let's get on to some random questions and some random thoughts here with the Cardinals general manager, John Mozeliak, as we've got 2009 out of the way and all fixed and ready to go. This is going to sound like a stupid question, but how do trade talks work? I mean, is it something simple as you may pick up a phone or email, or somebody may email you, and do they say, hey, we're interested in shopping this guy, or what would it take to get this guy from you? Does it work that way? I mean, kind of explain, just to give fans, without getting too many secrets away, and just how that process starts. And
it really does almost begin as simplistic as you stated. But the one thing you have to realize is what I try to do is touch base with 29 other clubs, and specifically the general manager, and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what they're trying to accomplish this offseason. Is there something that would make sense for them to look at what we might try to move, get an idea of where their payroll is going to be, what their goals are, and then we look to see if there's any potential fits. Clearly, you don't have to spend too much time on each organization because, you know, for one, we're probably not likely going to deal within our own division, so you can take those clubs out of the equation. Some teams are just strapped financially, so if one of our goals might be to move money, we wouldn't be able to do that. So you just go through this little checklist of things you're trying to see what they might be doing, and of course they're doing the reciprocal of that, looking at what we're trying to accomplish. And then, you know, once you start thinking there might be something that may work, then you pursue it a little deeper. You know, I'll give you a quick story on like Khalil Greene, for example.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started talking to San Diego about Khalil Greene, we really didn't like the idea of having to take on all $6.5 million of his contract, and at the time they were asking for you know, a pretty robust group of prospects from our side, and so it just didn't make sense for us. But rather than just let it die, we just, you know, we kept tinkering, and it was just small little emails or conversations throughout early part of November. Then it became to the point of like a tipping point where I got a phone call that said, look, we're going to move him tonight. You know, are you in or out? And so ultimately what I ended up doing was saying, look, we'll agree to take the whole 6.5, but to do that, we have to give up a few less players. And so we trimmed the list. We put it, you know, more in a vacuum, so to speak, of where they get a small group to pick from, and that's how that deal got done. And so, you know, every deal takes on a different personality, but, you know, that one came down to money and prospects.
Well, that's interesting. That's some great insight. I love it. All right, the All-Star Game coming to St. Louis this year. I mean, that's going to be exciting for the team and the city. How much work is involved on your end from getting all this set up, and not just yours, but the organization as a whole?
Right. I think that when you look at like an All-Star Game, it's really a kind of the centerpiece for Major League Baseball. So they are very much involved in coordinating and setting it up. But I would also say that people in our front office, whether it's in sales, marketing, operations to baseball, they all have volunteers that participate in the All-Star Game. And I can assure you from talking with some of those people, it's a lot of work. But it's a labor of love because it's something that I think they're so excited to be a part of and having the opportunity to participate, they're more than willing to do it.
Are you going to push for Albert Pujols to be in the home run derby?
You know, I think that's something that has to be up to him. I mean, I do think it'd be exciting, but I do think, you know, you have to be cognizant of his health. Last time he did it, he didn't feel right for a few weeks after. So I really think that's something that is ultimately up to him in terms of making a decision.
Yeah, and by the way, he had elbow surgery. He's doing great, huh?
He is feeling very good, which is encouraging. But, you know, until you get on that field and start going through it, you don't want to count your chickens until they hatch.
Yeah. All right, All-Star Game, determining home field advantage for the World Series. Do you like that idea or no?
Well, I don't think it's... Yeah, you know, I don't think it's one of those great ideas, but I do think it adds a little dynamic to the game itself that makes you realize that someone's got to win or lose, and I think that's important. So overall, you know, I do think the times that we would have been in the World Series and actually gotten to be the home team would have been, I think, in 2007 or 2006. So, but that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I'm a fan of the All-Star Game. I think it's a fun experience for people in the summer. I think we're lucky that our game is actually played in the middle of our season, which I think draws a great fan interest, and I think it's a great experience for people.
It's probably the of the four All-Star Games, it's probably the one that gets as closest to the way the game is supposed to be played and is played. I mean, other than the substitutions, but you know, you can always expect a pretty good game, and you're going to see good pitching, good defense, good hitting, and I mean, it is the best of all of them. How about designated hitter? Fan of that or no?
Oh, not really. I think being a part of the National League is great because it gives you the opportunity to play it in its pure form. And I also think it changes how you manage the game. And with double switching and really having to look at the lineup, I think that plays into how you do your strategies.
Well, a lot of people getting excited about the upcoming season. John Mozeliak, general manager of the Cardinals. All right, marketing question /idea for you. Why doesn't the team wear alternate jerseys? I've wondered about that. You know, Sunday afternoons, red jerseys at home with those blue and red caps.
Why do teams do that?
No. How come the Cardinals don't?
Well, I think it's just because, you know, we look at our uniform and you know, think it's the best in baseball. And, you know, we want to honor it that way. And I think a lot of teams do it for marketing reasons because it just can put more jerseys on the sale rack. But, you know, for us, we think we've got a perfect jersey and we want to keep it that way.
Well, the logo is one of the best. John, I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking us inside general manager's mind and giving us some insight on the upcoming season. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Bill, great questions, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, and hopefully we can talk during the season as well.
That sounds great. Thank you.